join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your promise given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. As he ascended to heaven, I am with you always. We're never alone. We're never alone in our circumstances and the darkest moments and troubles of our life. You are there with us. We thank you, Lord, that we can show you and speak to you and tell you our burdens. You hear them. We cast them on you today. We thank you for this wonderful time we have to be together, to have fellowship in your word, and to encourage one another. We pray for those who are struggling today. We pray for those who are in trouble and fear. We pray that they might look to Jesus today and be encouraged and live their life in joy. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Good to see all of you this morning. I'm Pastor Mike. Welcome to our service. If you have your Bible, I hope you do. Psalm number 88 is where I'd like for you to turn. Psalm number 88. We're closing in, finishing up this time we've had looking at what I call hope in despair. And I've sought to share with you these 12 Psalms that are personal to me. They're personal to me in my own life. In the times of despair and struggles of life, I have found these 12 Psalms to be of great benefit, and I wanted to share them with you. I hope that you'll be blessed by them. I hope you have been already, and that you can share them with others who might gain encouragement from them. Psalm 88 is where we'll be reading this morning, so let's hear the word of the Lord. We're reading Psalm 88, a petition to be saved from death, a song, a psalm of the sons of Korah for the choir director, according to Mahalath Leonath, which means afflictive sickness, concerning afflictive sickness, a maskil, which means a contemplation of Haman. O Lord, the God of my salvation, I cry out by day and in the night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul has had enough troubles. My life has drawn near to Sheol. I am reckoned among those who go down to the pit. I have become like a man without strength, forsaken among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest places, in the depths. Your wrath has rested upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your waves. You have removed my acquaintances far from me. You have made me an object of loathing to them. I am shut up and cannot go out. My eye has wasted away because of affliction. I have called upon you every day, O Lord. I have spread out my hands to you. Will you perform wonders for the dead? Will the departed spirits rise and praise you? Will your loving kindness be declared in the grave, your faithfulness in Abaddon? Will your wonders be made known in the darkness, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, have cried out to you for help, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you reject my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I was afflicted and about to die from my youth on. I suffer your terrors. I am overcome. Your burning anger has passed over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. They have surrounded me like water all day long. They have encompassed me about altogether. You have removed lover and friend far from me. My acquaintances are darkness. Heavenly Father, now bless the reading of your word. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the saddest of the Psalms, in my opinion. There are others that have great grief expressed, but also hope described in the words. We've looked at a number of those. where David especially will give us his condition of despair, but then by faith expresses hope. There are no words of hope found in the verses, 18 verses of Psalm 88. It might be amazing to some of God's people who are here today and to people who do not understand the ways of the Lord. Why would we sing a song? This is a song about his prayer to God. Why would we sing a song of lament? Why is it important for God's people and the church to understand what it means to lament? Well, we're reminded in the Word of God there's a time to rejoice, there's a time to laugh, and there's a time to cry. There's a time to be joyful, there's a time to be sorrowful. And in the life of every person I'm speaking to today, you will have an experience of both laughter and sorrow. So here we find in this focal truth these words. How do we have hope in despair? We tell God our pain. How do we have hope in despair? We tell God our pain. This psalm is written as a song, but also as a meditation. So though we do not know the tune, we sing these words as we pray them. And I encourage you, if you're in one of those places like Haman here, and you don't know what to say to God in your despair, well, perhaps today you find the best thing to do is to go home and just pray these words to God. This psalm is a song of lament, as I mentioned. It's a song of Haman singing in his despair. No, not singing because he's out of despair, singing in his despair. Only the children of God can do such. Only those who know the Lord Jesus Christ can do such. He's singing in despair. It's a song of lament, sung alone. There's no one to join him as he sings this song. Haman sings this song of despair and lament individually for himself with no one joining at his side. It is a song of lament expressing Haman's desire and his faith, listen, waiting on God when he's in one of the most difficult, despairing times of his life. We do not know the conditions or circumstances that led to the writing of Psalm 88, but now we have this song, and it is the task of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to pay attention to all of God's Word, and that includes these songs of lament. There are three observations I want us to see today, and there are many things we could do with Psalm 88, and time will forbid me from doing that, but I want to make these three observations. I want to encourage you to take time to look at this psalm, perhaps even today, to look at it in some of your time on this Lord's Day. The song is being sung, and as the song is sung, number one, it's sung about his prayer of confession. He sings a prayerful confession to God, his Savior, in his pain. He sings a song, secondly, of his persistent prayerful cry to God, his Savior, in his pain. And he continues to sing his prayerful complaint to God, his Savior, in fact, from verse 3 all the way to the end in verse 18. These words remind us of some very important truths that we must learn about how to pray in our despair. So what do we learn here? Number one, his prayerful confession to God is his Savior in prayer. Look at this. It's a confession, verse 1. O Lord, the God of my salvation. He makes a testimony here. He cries out in faith to God who is the God of his salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord. He is the one who has saved us. He has redeemed us. We cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ who is our Savior. Here Haman cries out in faith to God, O God, notice, O Lord, the God of my salvation. It's a cry of faith to the God who can save. It's a cry of mercy to God who saves. What did those blind beggars say to Jesus Christ when he was passing by? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. They would not stop saying, have mercy on me. Here we find Haman in his despair saying over and over, we're going to see in just a moment, over and over he says to the Lord, O Lord, the God of my salvation. O Lord, the God of my salvation. He speaks to the one who can save him. He doesn't call on his friends. He doesn't talk to others about this. He calls to God, O Lord, the God of my salvation. But we see here not only his confession of faith in God as he prays, but he also describes his persistence in prayer. A lot of us give up on praying, don't we? We give up. Like the man said to me one time, Pastor Mike, I've been praying about this all my life. I've just finally given up. I've given up. Lots of people say that. Lots of people feel that way. Notice he says, O Lord, the God of my salvation, verse 1, I have cried out by day and in the night before you. I have cried out by day and in the night before you. He cries over and over in this psalm. He cries for help, verse 13, to you. In the morning, my prayer comes to you. He cried out, verse number 9, he calls upon the Lord every day. There is a persistence to his praying. The Lord Jesus told stories about people in prayer and persistence. He said, we need to learn how to pray and not lose heart. Have you lost heart in praying? Have you given up on praying and asking God for his help? We find something interesting in Psalm 88. It is a prayer expressing to God what he already knows. Nevertheless, God wants to hear our prayers. And it is a persistent prayer. And some of you, like me, you pray certain prayers in your despair day after day after day. Perhaps some of you have prayed that prayer of despair and concern and burden for multiple years, all of your life. You may pray it all the rest of the days of your life. And some of you will come into seasons of time that not yet have happened. And you will pray and pray and pray. Don't give up heart. Don't give up hope. Because he knew God was the God of his salvation, he didn't give up praying. He kept on praying. And so he says, O Lord, the God of my salvation, verse 1, I have cried out it by day and in the night before you. Notice the language. Before you, let my prayer come before you. You see, the most important thing for us to do in our lives when we are in pain is come before the presence of the Lord. You say, Brother Mike, he's everywhere. Yes, but you must take time to find a quiet place, as the Lord said, shut yourself in that place and come before the Lord with your burdens and with your concerns. But then we find the remainder of the psalm to be a prayerful complaint to the God who saves him in his pain. Before I expand on this for a moment, some of us might be surprised that we could complain to God. But you see, the psalmist teaches us, all the psalms teach us over and over, we've looked at several before, where God is questioned and God, there is complaint given to God for the conditions going on. The same is true in our lives. Many times a part of our prayer is not so much asking, but complaining because of the condition we find ourselves in. I call you to verse number 3. It rises out of the psalm like no other section, perhaps maybe one other I'll mention. It rises out of the psalm as that which really summarizes the rest of the psalm. He says, O Lord, verse 1, the God of my salvation, I cry out by day and in the night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to hear me. For my soul has had enough troubles. My soul has had enough troubles. There are students in this room who already are praying. My soul, God, has already had enough troubles. There are senior adults in this room. My soul has had enough troubles. There are middle-aged people here. My soul has had enough troubles. He cannot endure. He does not believe he can go any further in the pain and despair that he is experiencing. But the best thing to do when we think we cannot go on, when we cannot endure, is to keep praying. We keep speaking with God. He prays persistently and he persistently complains to God. He says in verse 4, I am reckoned among those who go down to the pit. I have become like a man without strength, forsaken among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and they are cut off from your hand. He complains and says, you have put me in the lowest pit, in dark places, in the depths. Look at verse 6. Here is a description of his complaining about the depths he feels of pain in his despair. He says, you have put me in the lowest pit. You have put me in dark places. And you have put me in the depths. You say, Pastor Mike, how could he say such a thing when there's a God of love and grace and mercy? Because you see, my friends, as we've seen before, God's ways are not our ways. And what the Lord allows to come into your life and permits to come into your life, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, is to make you more like Jesus Christ. It is to discipline you and to help you know how to walk with God. You didn't ask for the trouble. You didn't ask for the pain, except if you've sinned, except if you've decided to go against God and disobey Him as a believer and walk away from Him. You'll have a trail of troubles, my friend, if you choose to walk away from God. That's why you're having pain, because you're in your sin again. You've walked away from God. But otherwise, if you're seeking to live for the Lord and you say, you've put me in this deepest, lowest pit, a low pit, a dark place in the depths. He's singing about his pain in despair. He's singing about his pain in despair. He feels God has pushed him. We don't know the circumstances, but we know how he's reacting to his circumstances. God has pushed him into the depths of despair. Have you ever lived in the depths of despair? Many people do. This is why it's important for me as your pastor to talk to you about this, and for us as a church not to ever dismiss the troubled pains and the despair that our friends go through at the church. You say, well, it's just not me. Okay, maybe it's not you, but it might be somebody sitting next to you today. It might be somebody that's in this building today. The depths. He feels pushed into the depths of despair. The depths of despair describe the experience of painful mental exhaustion. You see, when you're in despair, it wears you down. It wears you down. Verse 4, I have become like a man without strength. You can't do anything. Despair pushes you down. You see, the depths can be compared to a terrible thing, a terrifying thing. To be caught up somehow, you know, we hear about rip tides when we go down to the ocean and it pulls someone out without a life preserver. Oh, the danger of that. The depths of despair, like a man struggling in the depths of the ocean while the waves are crashing in and the current is pulling him under. That's the way the depths of despair feel. The depths of despair are like a man who's fallen into a deep pit and there's no way out. There's no toehold. There's no handhold. There's no way to grab and grip your way and get out. The sides of the pit are slippery and you're far down in the bottom and nobody can even hear your cry. The pit of despair, the depths of despair. He is singing to us and reminding us that's real life. That's the way people live all around us, believers and unbelievers. He questions God's treatment of him. In verses 9 through 14, my eyes have wasted away because of affliction. I call on you every day. I spread out my hands to you. And then he asks these questions to God with a pause, with a Selah, to make us think about it. Will you perform wonders for the dead? Will the departed spirits rise and praise you? Will the loving kindness be declared in the grave? Will your faithfulness in Abaddon, and will your wonders be made known in the darkness and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? What a statement. Will you remember me in the land of forgetfulness? You've forgotten me. He says then these painful words in verse 14. O Lord, why do you reject my soul? Notice how he begins the psalm. In verse 3, my soul has had enough trouble. And now he says, O Lord, why do you reject my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? That's the prayer of many Christians. Why, there are believers in Jesus Christ locked up in jails around the world for sharing their faith, who may be saying today, O Lord, why do you hide your face from me? Oh Lord, why do you reject me? There are others who've done whatever they can in some circumstance of their life with other people. They can't seem to gain any help. And they say to the Lord, why have you rejected me? There are those who feel all alone in our world, all around us today. Those who also are part of our church. He says, I am afflicted, verse 15. I'm about to die. From my youth on, I've been in this desperate condition most of my life. Your terrors, he says, your terrors. See those words? I suffer your terrors and I'm overcome. And he says the saddest of words, my acquaintances are darkness. No light. We find Haman in a condition where his soul is in complete despair. This is the language of praying and waiting on God. Lots of us talk about this. We have these theories. I've mentioned this to you before. It's good to have theology and have right thinking, but you see, here's what will test your theology. Life. Life will test what you believe. You say, where is God? Well, we wait on God. Isn't that what we sung today? We're still waiting, all of us. I remind you every week. I'll remind you until I'm dead and in the grave, or you've rolled me out of here. The judge is near the door, and we pray, come Lord Jesus. Amen. That Jesus is coming again, quicker now than ever. This is the language of waiting on God by faith. While it appears that God has walked off, God has forgotten him. It's waiting on God in the darkness of despair, in the pit of despair, and in the depths of despair. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. What do you do today? You pray in your pain, you tell God your pain in your prayer, and you wait on God, who is the God of your salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. I love poetry, and one of my favorite poets is an old preacher, George Herbert, the preacher poet. I was looking for some way that we could use an expression to describe the depths of Psalm 88. I believe I found it for me. He has a little short poem called Bittersweet. Now, this is the way our lives are. Bittersweet. Bitter and sweet. Oh, sweet and bitter. Bitter and sweet, sweet and bitter. We like the sweetness, but we hate the bitter. My little grandson says this week, Q, what does bitter mean? I said, let me see if I can find some vinegar. George Herbert says, this is the way now we live as Christians. I will complain yet praise. I will bewail yet approve. Now listen, and all my sour, sweet days, I will lament and love God. That's for you today. That's for me today. So what do we remember today from these words? Well, there are many things we could think about. I'll just quickly give you these because we prepare to come to the Lord's table. First of all, tell God your pain and your despair even when you think He's not listening. Lord, O Lord, God of my salvation, I've cried out day and night before You. Let my prayer come before You. Incline Your ear to my cry. Persistently pray in your despair. You say, well, I've been praying about it. Keep praying about it. Keep praying. The Lord Jesus said, ask and it will be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. Are you listening to the Lord's words? Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. We're reading Psalm 88 in the time when God hasn't answered yet. But He will. But He will. And I remind you of what James says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Look, this despairing prayer is still a prayer of faith. Perhaps the greatest prayers you pray are not prayers of victory and celebration, but the greatest prayers you pray are the prayers of despair in faith. Now, one last thing. You can come to Jesus who knows about despair. I want to read this to you as we finish and come to the Lord's table because it's appropriate. I want you to listen to what the Lord Jesus said to Peter, James, and John just before He was arrested in Mark 14. Mark 14, 32, they came to a place named Gethsemane. And He said to His disciples, sit here until I have prayed. Now these are important words for what we've just heard as we come to the table of the Lord. Mark 14, 33, and He took with Him Peter and James and John, and He began. Please now notice in your Bible, this is the Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He began to be very distressed and troubled. You mean Jesus Christ had distress and despair and a troubled mind? Yes. Yes. And He said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what You will. And the next chapter, a few days later, Mark 15, 34, at the ninth hour, the Lord Jesus cried out in agony, in pain, like we cannot understand, in His Aramaic tongue, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, my God. You see it there? Why have You forsaken me? So for all those who think they are forsaken, remember this. There is one who was truly forsaken by God so that you and I might have the chance to be born again and saved and be new people in Christ. He took the wrath of God and endured it for us, and that's why He says, as Brother Jeff Hooks read already, come to Me, the Lord said, all you who are weary. Are you weary this morning? Even though you slept all night, you feel like you haven't slept a wink? You're just tired? You're tired all the time? Yes, despair takes our strength. But the Lord says, come to Me when you are weak. Come to Me when you're weary and you're heavy laden, pushed into that deep pit, pushed into that darkness, pushed into that place where you don't think anybody else knows. And the Lord promised, I will give you rest. O Lord, the God of my salvation, my soul has had enough troubles, but You are the God of my salvation. To the praise of the glory of His grace, the Lord is near the door, and we say, come, Lord Jesus.